It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss legislative priorities with Republican Representative David Steffen of Green Bay. And you have a line as we dig into his proposal to reduce income taxes by nearly $3 billion over 2 years. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. David Steffen represents District 4 in the State Assembly. Representative Steffen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Yes. So the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates your proposal to lower the state's third income tax bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. That would save the average filer $772. What would a tax savings of that amount mean for the average Wisconsin taxpayer?
Well, think about all the additional expenses that the middle class family or a fixed income retiree will able to address between the rising costs of heating, housing, food costs. All those things have been absolutely crushing our middle class, in particular our middle class families and our fixed income retirees. So by doing a permanent tax cut every single year, $772 or more to the average taxpayer is one way to get more money in their pocket so that they can make those decisions to absorb this crushing inflation we're feeling.
So why focus on the income tax bracket that includes individuals earning about $27,000 up to $300,000?
Yeah, that is our largest bracket, as you can imagine. It encompasses the vast majority of taxpayers, 1.7 million of them, actually. And so anywhere from $9 an hour, someone who's making $9 an hour will feel the benefit all the way up to, as you mentioned, $300,000. So that's the width, the breadth, the scope of that particular bracket. And those are, you know, our lower working class, as well as our upper middle class. And so it's the broadest amount. We can provide a 15% cut in taxes for those individuals. Secondarily, the governor made it clear during his budget decisions that he did not want any money going to the top earners. So those who are making above $304,000. So in our last plan, had 77% of the tax benefit going to this middle class bracket. We now have it designed so 100% of the tax break, the income tax break, goes entirely to that middle class bracket.
People who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, the wealthy, does this return money to Wisconsinites who simply don't need the tax break?
Well, again, there's no money that'll be going to that top tax bracket, so above $300,000. But that's our bracket. It goes from, again, $9 an hour up to $300,000 an hour, and $300,000 a year. And, you know, those are people who are supporting our economy. There are our teachers, our firefighters, our child care workers, so as well as retirees. So it is absolutely appropriate that we give a 15% income tax cut to those people. We have this amount of surplus. Let's be clear. This isn't our money. We've already set up our budget for the next 2 years. We still have $4 billion left in the bank account, earning $1 million a month in interest. And it's their money. It is the people's money. They need it badly now in this inflationary environment. And so doing a permanent tax cut to get it back to them makes the most sense.
We're talking about a Republican state tax cut plan with its author, Representative David Steffen of Green Bay, is here. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, this summer, Governor Tony Evers vetoed a similar tax cut proposal in the state budget, as you made mention, and Evers called this renewed push irresponsible and vowed to veto it as well. Does the proposal have enough support among Republicans and Democrats to override a veto by the governor?
Well, it is a bipartisan. It has received bipartisan votes already. And so I'm hoping that'll continue through the process beginning on Tuesday when it is on the floor of the State Assembly. Now, that quote you provided from Governor Evers, you have to read the entire thing because he said it's irresponsible because we can't do both the tax cut and more spending. And so, we're not planning on doing any more spending of the magnitude he's looking at. We just completed our state budget for the next 2 years. We completed that just 90 days ago. And so we're not going to be spending those billions of dollars. And so let's give it back to the people who overpaid the government. And it's their surplus. Let's return it.
Your plan would commit much of the state's projected $4 billion budget surplus. Why cut taxes rather than use this money to fund public services?
Well, first of all, it's their money. It was an overpayment. It should go back to them. Two, when we give money to the central planners in Madison, we rarely get what we expect. The money starts at a certain point. It bounces around like a Plinko chip on the prices right through the process. Bureaucrats take their bite. And at the end of the day, no one really is sure what benefit they got. Additionally, the scope of problems that have been generated through the inflationary environment we have are across the board. So to pinpoint a specific industry, a specific type of work or whatever it may be, is very much challenging to do in this regard. Additionally, let's be clear. We did an 11.7% increase already in state spending with this budget. So we have juiced every different entity that's currently funded through state government. They've all received significant increases as a part of this in the budget, but now there's still surplus. So let's get it back to the people. They know best how to spend their money for the issues and needs that they have.
Let's bring on a call now. Crash joining us from Milwaukee. Crash, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I would like to respectfully disagree with the representative. I make about $55,000-$60,000 a year, and I own my own business. And we've already spent the money, so the state has it. We've budgeted for groceries and our mortgages and our car payments already. We should use that money on things that improve the lives of taxpayers, but taxpayers can't pay for on our own. Things like lead remediation for the drinking water supply, or environmental cleanup, or the schools that need more funding.
Crash, thank you for the call. And let's go to another caller, Lisa in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Well, I would say my family is one of those that's at the upper end of that bracket, and we don't need the tax cut. We're one of the only developed countries in the world that do not offer child care. $700 is going to do nothing to offset the exorbitant cost of child care that families that really need the help need that. I would like to see it go into there. Lack of child care is really hurting our economy. No, we don't need the tax cut.
Lisa, thank you for the call. Representative Stefan, what would you say to callers like Crash and Lisa?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for your callers, to your callers. So first of all, to Crash, as it relates to the lead remediation, we have funding, both state and federal, that is going to take care of that 100% between our budget as well as money that came from the federal government. Have done a tremendous investment in increase for environmental protection. Our waters have never been cleaner. Our air has never been cleaner here in Wisconsin. And as it relates to education, we just did a $1 billion increase. And that's after doing a $700 million last budget, $600 million the year before. So, and the governor just guaranteed 402 years of increases into the future. Our schools are very well funded. As it relates to childcare, absolutely. That is an industry that has been hit most abruptly because the pandemic funding that they were receiving, extra money they were receiving from the federal government, just ran out. But here's a challenge. Which businesses do not deserve additional money? All of them are struggling, whether it's a Hardee's, a Holiday Inn, whether it's your a hospital or it's a nursing home. All of them are struggling with getting workers. All of them are dealing with inflationary impacts. And, you know, it becomes quite an issue if we have to fund every single private business through subsidies. So getting money back to the people so that they can make their choices is by far the best way to make sure everyone has the ability to control how they're going to be spending their money.
And Jane in Menominee has a question. Jane, hi, go ahead. What is the question?
Yes, my question is, I thought some of the surplus was leftover funds from some of the COVID relief programs that we've witnessed through the pandemic. So I'd like that clarified. if you could. And second, I live in an area that still has some dead spots for the internet and broadband. And I know that Governor Evers asked for more money, and I know that you guys trimmed it down. And I will tell you, it's unthinkable that people cannot get the internet at their homes. That should have been funded so every single person. And I even
Jane, I want to just jump in here and allow Representative Stephan to respond. First, on federal funds from the pandemic buoying the state budget, Representative.
Yeah, thank you. So there was a tremendous amount of money that was billions of dollars that during the pandemic response period, the government spent trillions of money and provided it directly to governors for them to spend as they see fit. And that's, to be honest, that's part of why we're dealing with this hyperinflation environment that is causing all costs, including childcare and everything else, to go up. As it relates to the broadband question, great question. I'm the chairman of the Energy and Utilities question, and I'm so glad to get this call because there, a couple months ago, we finally got the money that we were looking for to help provide 98% of Wisconsin residents and businesses will get broadband service in the next few years. Over $1.1 billion will be spent to make this possible. So, Jane, hold tight. The cavalry is coming in the next few years. 98% of Wisconsin businesses and residents will have broadband.
Representative David Stephan with us, Green Bay Republican, as we discuss taxes and legislation circulating at the Capitol. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the legislative priorities of Republican Representative David Stephan of Green Bay to reduce income taxes, as we've been talking about, and expand retirement income exemptions, which is where we go next. You can be part of this discussion. 800-642-1234. Call in with a question. Add your thoughts. Email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, your plan would cut taxes on retirement income by exempting the first $100,000 from an individual's retirement income. Also exempt from state taxes would be the first $150,000 from the income of a couple who is 67 or older. Why include this proposal in the bill?
Well, this, as well as the other, has a series of benefits. Not only does it put immediate money back into people's hands, and I can tell you, having gone door to door and spoke with retirees, is that this, the inflationary impacts that we have right now have been substantially and dramatically impacting that demographic. They have a fixed amount of income that they get from their pension, they get from their 401k, and it's very difficult for them to absorb the housing costs, the food increases, the fuel costs, heating costs that have gone up above what they are receiving in terms of their retirement benefits. So by giving them some extra money in their pocket, they're able to absorb that that change. So, and the other thing that comes with all of these is that the states that have lower tax rates attract workers. We are in an extreme deficit in our workforce situation, and we need to have an environment where we are competitive with our neighbors. And for example, Illinois has tax-free retirement. I want to make sure that we aren't losing people to Illinois because of that difference in benefit for our retirees.
Would the retirement income exemption from state taxation, would it help people on both fixed incomes as well as people in their highest earning years of work?
Well, once someone turns 67, the first $100,000 for an individual, $150 for a couple, is tax exempt. So it's all something that benefits them throughout that process. We want people to come to Wisconsin, live here, work here during their highest years. So once they retire, they they have this benefit. And so this is a great opportunity to provide that. It's substantial. And for those who are our fixed income seniors, they deserve this extra money. It makes us more competitive, and it's the right thing to do.
Wisconsin's demographics, though, they're changing. Our state is trending older, as demographers have told us. Does your plan take that into account?
Absolutely. So that's part of the factors that are part of this that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau does, is they take into account all the trends. And yes, we are becoming a grayer state by attracting workers through more competitive, attractive tax rates is one of the ways that we can slow that curve. And so this has more than putting money in people's pockets. It's also a way to attract people to come here, work here in their highest earning years.
Do you think we would like rival Florida and other states that don't tax your retirement income for retirees?
Well, you know, those are some of the ones that have the most number of workers coming to their place. So you mentioned it, Texas, Florida. Those are states that are absolutely growing, not just with retirees, but with workers in general. And the states that have the least competitive tax environment are the ones that are losing people. California, New York, New Jersey. People are moving out of those states. Their workers are leaving those states because of that environment. And I don't want Wisconsin to be like that. I want us to be competitive so that we can attract and retain workers who ultimately become retirees.
Talking about a Republican tax cut plan with its author, State Representative David Steffen of Green Bay, is with us. You can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. In July, you co-authored the Tiny Tot tax cut. The bill would eliminate Wisconsin's sales and use taxes on dozens of common baby supplies and childcare products. Where is that bill currently in the legislative process?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. So that does eliminate the taxes on many of the products that every family uses during those first few years of being a parent. And it has yet to have a hearing. I'm still optimistic about it, but I can tell you the legislature has really kind of rallied around and behind my proposal relating to a 15% middle class tax cut in the tax-free retirement package. So we'll see if we can make that through, but we want to find ways to help families. And certainly that's one of the ways that we can do it, by just allowing people to save a little more money at the cash register.
And what types of products would be tax exempt? Can you give us some examples?
Car seats, baby bottles, bouncers, cribs, strollers. Think of just about any product that for a two-year-old or younger that you would need. Diapers. Those are the types of things that would be exempt.
Let's bring on another call. Annalisa joining us from Green Bay. From Green Bay. Annalisa, hi.
Good morning. Representative Steffen. I am one of your constituents. You mentioned that we need workers, but then you don't want to fund child care. I don't get it, because child care frees women to work, and without it, they are unable to, without it, they're unable to leave home. And I would stress good child care is vital for our children. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa. Go ahead, Representative Steffen.
Yeah, well, certainly child care is incredibly important. And the reason why this has really kind of pushed itself to the front of the newspapers and discussion is because this massive federal subsidy, pandemic subsidy, just ran out. And so we have this situation where the government was in enormous amounts, millions and millions of dollars to larger child care facilities is now gone. And that was something when it started 3 years ago, we made it clear, listen, you know, all this federal money that's coming in, do not expect that we're going to be able to maintain that. We, unlike the federal government, one, cannot run a deficit. And two, we can't print money. So the federal government has these tools that they can do that we cannot. Now, let's be clear. The child care proposals that, you know, Evers and others have proposed, they only benefit those who have child care through a larger facility. And because it's child care facility based, it means for children 0 to 5. Well, what about the parent who has a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 15-year-old? Well, they have child care expenses as well. They're different, but they still have them. And so they are left out in this situation under the governor's proposal and those that the people are referencing. So how about we give every family, every parent money back, regardless of how they choose to raise their children, whether it's with a neighbor or a relative, or their kids have aged out of the standard daycare facility. Right. So every family needs the benefit, and that's why it makes sense to make it across the board.
Representative Stephan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Representative David Stephan, a Green Bay Republican, represents District 4 in the Assembly. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A delegation led by Governor Tony Evers is in the midst of a trade mission to Europe to highlight sectors of Wisconsin's economy, including manufacturing and food processing. You can join the conversation by calling in with a question, sharing your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie Sinnott is Vice President of Global Trade and Investment for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Katie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kate. Great to be back. Thank you.
Yes, we're catching up with you in Belgium on the trade mission with Governor Evers. What's on your agenda for today?
We have so much on our agenda for today. We had a great briefing with the U.S. Ambassador to Belgium to learn more about the opportunities for Wisconsin businesses here. We'll be meeting with Flanders Food to understand their work on sustainability and food production. And we'll end the night with a great reception with over 90 participants of companies we're looking to attract to the state, political figures from Belgium, as well as our own delegation.
Busy day ahead. What are you hoping to achieve on this trade mission?
There are so many objectives for this particular trade mission. It's so important when we have a governor with us. They're always important, but the governor always raises the profile of our trade missions. So we're looking to reinforce the importance of Belgian, Luxembourgish, and Dutch relationships with Wisconsin. So these economic relationships really build strengths between the countries and its companies. We're also looking to support our Wisconsin companies to expand their exports. Right now, we have 10 companies participating in the mission. And prior to their going on the trade mission with us, WEDC, with our in-country trade representative, we reviewed the company's objectives, their fit for the market. And then once we determine the country is a good fit for this company, we set up 3 to 5 vetted meetings every single day for this company. And lastly, we are looking to attract companies from Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands to Wisconsin as they look to expand in North America.
I wonder why 10 companies? This could be a much larger trade mission, and you could also do it with fewer companies.
Our missions typically vary between 6 to 10, and I guess the limitation has to do with our trade representative network. We have contracted trade representatives across 94 countries in the world so that we get the best support. These individuals are actually in country and they know their country very well. And they typically can support about 10 companies at a time because it's quite intense with 10 companies each receiving 3 to 5 meetings per day. They actually probably have to do double or triple reach out to get that many meetings per day for each company.
As they go through these meetings, I wonder, what are the biggest questions about Wisconsin that surface from the people you meet with on this trip?
I think they want to understand where we have commonalities. They want to learn how we do things in our state. For example, if we're talking about sustainable food production or sustainable energy? How are they approaching it versus how Wisconsin's approaching it? Also, if you would talk to our companies, they're obviously looking to see, how is my product used in this country? How does this client or customer perceive my product differently? Or how do you distribute my product in your country? It could be completely different from Wisconsin.
Do you find that there are commonalities that the companies you have on this trade mission didn't realize? Are there some aha moments?
I think there are. Really, when we look at exporting, we say about 80% of it's all the same, right? Everyone wants to receive their product on time. They want a high quality product. They would like to have repairs when required. They need someone to reach out to when they have questions. There's just a little 20% really that's quite different. It could be the payment process. It could be the different requirements or certifications that they require in the country that are a little bit different. But in the end of the day, I think everyone finds that everyone wants to do a good job and get the right product to the right company at the right time.
We're talking about Wisconsin's trade relationships with Katie Sinnott, who is Global Trade and Investment Vice President for the state's Job Creation Agency, as we look at this trade mission to Europe led by Governor Tony Evers. You can join in the conversation along the way. Call in with a question. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie, as we've been talking about the meetings that are being taken by these 10 Wisconsin companies, talk a little more about how you select which companies to bring along on a trade mission like this.
Sure. So we have an application process that a company would go through, answering questions like, how much do they export? What countries do they export to? Explanation of their product, and what are their objectives for the target country? We then work with our trade representative who is in that country, and we have a joint call to walk through all of the different aspects of the company to determine whether that product is a good fit for that country. For example, in Europe, you have highly sophisticated consumers. There's a lot of focus on organics. We have competition from some pretty great manufacturers here in Europe. And so we would have to have a very high quality product for these countries. We wouldn't want to be exporting to Europe, for example, commodity products that could be easily reproduced here in the country. So we go through that whole vetting process to understand their expectations and objectives and make sure that we can meet it and that they're going to benefit from going on this trade mission. And if we feel a different country is a better fit, we'll work with them to get in touch with that representative in that country.
You mentioned organic products. Do you see that Wisconsin products have a leg up in this area, or do we have a lot of more work to do to be competitive with exporting organic products?
We have some companies with us that have organic products, and I think they're going to do great. I know that depending on the country, there might be a different level of certification required for organic products. So they'll have to go through this certification process to ensure that they meet the country's requirements. But I think Wisconsin products have a heavy focus on sustainability. And amazingly enough, we have organic makeups coming out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, all sorts of different things coming out of Wisconsin in the area of organics.
Could delegates on this mission return from it with an order in hand or in securing new business?
We always hope that for a company. Exporting typically has a longer pipeline. We did have a great outcome. We just led a trade mission to the Paris Air Show, and one Wisconsin company came out of that with a $50 million contract. I would say that's the exception. Usually, they might get an initial order to test the product, for maybe 6 months to 9 months down the road, they'll get an order. It takes time to develop that trust and to introduce that product to the potential buyer.
It sounds like, too, there is a lot of preparation at Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and your team to schedule these meetings and to really vet potential partners for these Wisconsin companies on these trade missions. Why do you take that upfront, type of investigative work with you, you know, as you go on these missions?
Well, I think it's really important that when a company is going to take the time to leave their office, spend their money to go overseas and to meet with companies, we want to make sure that they're going to have the best experience possible and the best possibility to sell their goods. We are also considerate of the potential buyers that they're going to meet on the other side, that it's a really good fit for them. It doesn't make sense if your product wouldn't sell well in a particular country to take the time out of your very, very busy day to go and spend time in that country. It's better to take your hard-earned dollars and go to a country where you have the most opportunity. So we do spend a lot of time vetting companies, making sure that they are who they are on the visit side, the companies that our clients would visit with. We want to make sure they have the best experience and best opportunity to sell.
The European Union is Wisconsin's second largest export market. What is your relationship with the European Union versus its member nations?
Sure. So we focus typically on the 27 member EU countries rather than the EU itself. Mm-hmm. But the EU is a really important trading partner, as you say. So exports to the EU account for 16% of Wisconsin exports, only second behind Canada. And Canada has 31% of Wisconsin's exports. When we looked at Belgium, Belgium is Wisconsin's fifth largest trading partner, and it ranks eighth among the state's export destinations and seventh among import sources. So there are a lot of opportunities there. In 2022, our exports increased by 7% over 2021. And we exported industrial equipment. If you think outboard and inboard marine engines, vehicles and parts, just think tractors and fire trucks, electrical machinery, that would be electronics parts and boards, and it's rounded out with plastics and medical and scientific equipment. And if you look at the Netherlands, it's quite similar, but smaller scale. Netherlands is Wisconsin's 16th largest trading partner, ranking 10th in exports. And it's similar products that we're exporting to the Netherlands, although food and ag ranks much higher because, as you probably know, Kate, the Netherlands is the second largest exporter of food and ag. After the United States, they're really a powerhouse in this area, similar to Wisconsin, and offered great opportunities for our companies.
Katie Sinnott leads Global Trade and Investment at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation as we discuss an international trade mission underway, efforts to showcase Wisconsin's economy to other countries. Call in with a question. Add your comments. 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. An international trade mission to Europe is underway, led by Governor Tony Evers. We examine efforts to showcase Wisconsin's economy with a delegation that includes representatives from 10 companies here in our state. Be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie Sinnott with us, Vice President of Global Trade and Investment for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Katie, turning our attention to China for a moment, last month, U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo visited China, and Raimondo is the first Commerce Secretary traveling to China in 5 years. What is China's relationship with China, with Wisconsin?
So Wisconsin has a strong relationship with China. It's our second largest export destination and a very important partner that can't be ignored. In fact, we are leading a trade mission to China in April of 2024. It will be the first time that we have been back to China since COVID, and we're excited about that opportunity. I think that the market is a complicated market, but it is a very large market. So we continue to focus there, and Wisconsin companies continue to export to China, although we've seen a pretty precipitous drop year to date this year. We're down by about 18% in our exports to China. I think part of that has to do with there's been a lot of movement out of China. If you're not serving the Chinese market, companies have moved perhaps to Vietnam, or they've moved to Europe to serve Europe, or they've moved to the United States to serve the United States. We've seen a lot of movement of companies like that.
Customarily, though, where have Wisconsin exports been most successful in China?
Industrial equipment, the typical areas that you would expect of our top exports. So industrial machinery, electrical machinery, medical and scientific equipment are really top exports to China. So there are a lot of opportunities there.
Yes. And so as you plan for April and you look at this second largest export destination for Wisconsin, how will you perhaps encourage Wisconsin companies to take a fresh look at doing business in China?
I think we'll need to have a little more detailed conversations with the companies to ensure that they understand the market and that they're approaching it to serve the local market, the local Chinese market, and that they understand the challenges that they'll be facing there and that they're fully prepared for it. So deeper conversations.
How does the federal government's China policy affect Wisconsin's trade efforts with China?
We continue to export and import from China. We obviously have some products that are restricted to sell in China, so we follow all of those federal restrictions. Some things that we saw that was restricted in China that benefits the European market. We've been importing a lot of iron and steel from Europe, because they're exempted from the tariffs on steel of 25%. And we did just learn from the Belgian ambassador from the United States that they're currently negotiating that tariff exemption now for Europe. But, you know, it's just a conversation to make sure the company is prepared for that trade mission.
You just mentioned Belgium's ambassador, and your European trade delegation is passing through Luxembourg. Former Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is the American ambassador to Luxembourg. Does Barrett have any role in trade negotiations or in this mission?
There will be a visit to see Tom Barrett as we meet with the Prime Minister of Luxembourg, Prime Minister Battel. And so we are not privy to what Ambassador Barrett does on the trade front, but he does potentially have some involvement, although I would think the USTR is more heavily involved.
How important in general are ambassadors to planning and carrying out trade missions, building connections?
Sure. I think ambassadors are very important. They build those economic relationships for the United States, and they also help, particularly when we have a governor on the mission, to help the governor build his own economic relationships. The team that we work so closely with is the U.S. Commercial Service, and they have offices in most of the embassies and consulates around the world. And they help us set up meetings for foreign direct investment. They give us briefings on opportunities in the country. So the ambassador and his team are really key in our success in every country we visit.
Katie Sinnott with us, Global Trade and Investment Vice President for Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, as we discuss trade mission underway to Europe, and we look more closely at Wisconsin's trade ties. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Katie, you've been working on international business negotiations for our state for nearly a decade. How do foreign businesses view Wisconsin?
They highly respect our manufacturing. They know that at the heart of who Wisconsin is, we are a manufacturing state, whether it is in food processing or medical equipment or pharmaceuticals or water technology equipment. They know that our workforce is strong and experienced manufacturers. For example, if you look at Komatsu, who opened their headquarters for mining globally in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they did that because they knew we had a multi-generational manufacturing workforce. So Wisconsin is, yes, we are known for our beer and cheese, but we are highly respected as well for our manufacturing prowess.
On manufacturing, last month, tech giant Foxconn announced plans to sell off properties in Green Bay and Eau Claire. And this move raised further questions about Foxconn's interests in growing its presence here. Do you want to bring more international manufacturers to Wisconsin?
We absolutely do. And what's super interesting about that is with the Inflation Reduction Act, we have seen almost a 25% increase of foreign companies looking to locate in the United States over the previous year. So not only are we looking to land very strong, solid manufacturing companies here in the state, they're also looking to land in the state.
What is follow-up like with leads and contacts after the trade mission is over, after you're back on Wisconsin soil?
I would say that's the hardest part, right? Because you have to follow up, you have to call everyone, follow up on every promise that was made, and then just continue to make sure that our companies that we brought with us also follow up. So our market development directors who organize the company meetings will reach out to them quite frequently, immediately after the trade mission, to ensure that they're following up appropriately with the companies that they met in the countries where we have visited. And WEDC will be doing the exact same thing on our meetings.
Katie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It was enjoyable. Thank you so much.
Katie Sinnott is Vice President of Global Trade and Investment for Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.